Well, good morning, church. Nice to see everyone this morning. I'm looking forward to speaking this word that I believe the Lord has placed on my heart this morning. By way of introduction, let me first thank Pastor Daniel for his willingness to share this platform with me this morning. I've spoken here a few times over the years now, and the good news is I've been invited back again. So what that means is I have yet to do anything or say anything that disqualifies me from preaching from this pulpit. So I'm excited to keep that streak alive this morning, church. So for those of you who don't know me, my name is Matthew Simula, and as Pastor Doug said, I was somewhat raised in this church. I was thinking the other day that I started coming to Living Way Church when I was about 15 years old. I actually started attending the youth group prior to joining the church, and the youth pastor at that time was Jim Ost, who was here just a couple weeks ago for our anniversary meetings. And so I grew up listening to Jim preach and then stayed in the church for all these years. And I'm so very thankful for just the deposit of God that's been placed in my life for all the years of being able to sit under the teaching and the preaching and the pastoring of Pastor Doug that's been instrumental in my life. And then, of course, over the last many years, Pastor Daniel, and such a great man of God that he is, and instrumental in, again, filling my life with the scriptures and with the gospel and allowing me then the opportunity from time to time to get up here and preach this morning. So along those lines, I was also thinking back to all the different ministries that were a part of this church or that have been through this church over the years. Just an amazing amount of preachers and teachers and ministers that have stood on this platform and have preached messages to us as a congregation. Even going back to the old building when we used to meet over there, and all the real titans of faith, really, that have come through this church and have preached messages from this platform. And so to me, to be up here and have the opportunity to preach is a real honor. It's definitely not something that I take for granted. It's not something that I take lightly. So I really appreciate the opportunity and the privilege to preach from this platform this morning. So Pastor Daniel has been taking us through, as a church, this theme or this series called Speak of the Glory. And throughout the entire year, we've been looking at different aspects of the glory of God. We've been looking at different stories in the Bible, different ways that the glory of God is manifest through the scriptures. So I thought this morning that I would take my crack at a Speak of the Glory themed message. And so I've titled this message this morning, if you're taking notes, The Glory of the New Covenant. The Glory of the New Covenant. Now this is, as Pastor Doug shared, Thanksgiving week. And on Wednesday night, we are going to meet together to fellowship and have communion together and encourage each other in the scriptures. And then on Thursday, we will all go our separate ways and meet with our families and our friends and enjoy Thanksgiving. So you might have come this morning expecting a Thanksgiving message. And although Speak of the glory of the new covenant might not exactly be a Thanksgiving theme as you would think, what I will say is that anytime anybody stands up here on the platform and preaches the gospel, in a certain way, it is a message of thankfulness, because we as Christians should be thankful people. Amen. That we should be grateful people for all that the Lord has done in our lives. So in a certain way, I want this message, and my aim this morning is that we would all have a heightened or a raised level of thankfulness for what the Lord has accomplished in us and through us because of the glory of the new covenant. And so that's a little bit about where I want to head this morning with this message. And so the way that I kind of want to get there is I want to first show us what I would call three, like, macro level or three large scale truths related to the new covenant. And then from there, I'd like to show us what I would call three micro level or smaller scale, more personal truths related to the new covenant that we can kind of put in our pocket, so to speak, and take with us as we leave this building today and go about our daily lives. So that's a little bit about where we are headed this morning. Before I get into the message, would you bow your heads and join me in a word of prayer? Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunity to preach this message this morning. Lord, I pray that the words I speak would be your words. I pray that the thoughts that I convey would be your thoughts. Lord, I pray that every single person here would leave this place encouraged. They would leave this place with a heightened and increased level of thankfulness and gratitude for what you've done in and through their lives because of the glory of the new covenant. And everybody said, amen. Well, I want to start this morning by reading a passage of scripture out of 2 Corinthians 3, starting in verse 7. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, you can turn to 2 Corinthians 3 and follow along there. If you don't have a Bible, you can open up the YouVersion app on your phone. You can search Living Way Church under the events tab, and you will find there the notes for the sermon this morning, along with all the passages I'm going to read, so you can follow along that way. We also will have the words for you up here on the overhead, so you can follow along with the message in that way as well. And if none of those things appeal to you, there is, as always, a Bible in the pew in front of you that you can take with you when you're done here this morning. We want you to have a Bible at your disposal and in your hands that you can use at home. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7. Now, just to make sure that we understand that we're in the right place this morning in the Bible, the subheading of these passages of scripture that I'm going to read in my Bible, it says, the glory of the new covenant, okay? So we're reading the correct passage of scripture this morning, church. Now, if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory, Paul's talking there about the old covenant, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, fading though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit, this is the new covenant, be even more glorious? If the ministry that condemns men is glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was fading away came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness and ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. And so, to start off this morning, I'd like to make this statement, that the glory of the new covenant is the person of Jesus Christ. And through Jesus Christ, anyone who would believe in his name is ushered in to this glorious kingdom and lavished with benefits that are far superior to anything that was ever offered in the old covenant. We can say confidently, we can say boldly, that the old has gone and the new has come. Amen, church? So before I kind of launch into the meat and potatoes of the message, as it were, I want to make this statement, and I want to kind of lay a groundwork or a framework or a foundation for where we're going to head this morning, because I think this is important to make sure that we all understand this aspect. The new covenant was not an afterthought or God's contingency plan. The new covenant was always the plan of God for the world. Okay? This is important for us to understand, because if we do not have this foundation in place, we will not view our inclusion in the new covenant with the proper amount of reverence and appreciation. You see, if we think that this old covenant was really God's plan for the world, and then things got messed up, and God was surprised, and he was not aware that this was going to happen, and all of a sudden he had to think on the fly and figure out some other plan for the world, we might think of ourselves as sort of second-class citizens, or people that maybe aren't actually included in God's ultimate plan. That is not the case. The new covenant was always the plan of God. And if we understand that and if we believe that, then we know in our hearts, for those of us who accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we know that we therefore are now in the plan of God. Amen? And that is what's important for us to understand as we launch into this message this morning, that the new covenant was not an afterthought. It was not a contingency plan of God. So don't take my word for it. I'm going to read a scripture that's going to show this to you. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, Paul writes to Timothy and he says this, he has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. So this message of grace, this gospel of Jesus Christ, this new covenant of grace was God's plan from the beginning of time. Now the old covenant, Israel, maybe not, it was not revealed to them as Paul says, but it was always God's plan for the church, for the world, for this new covenant of believers to be as part of what God is doing in the world. So, as I said, I'd like to start by giving us what I would call three macro level or large scale views or truths related to the new covenant. I'm calling these three new covenant glories. Now, again, if you're one of those people that came here this morning expecting a Thanksgiving message, what I'd ask you to do is cross off three new covenant glories and write three reasons to be thankful for the new covenant. And now you have a Thanksgiving message, okay? So I didn't let you down. Thanksgiving message, right? Number one, the first new covenant glory. The new covenant replaces exclusivity with inclusivity. We could say a different way. The kingdom of God is now available for all people rather than one people. You see, we as Christians in 2021, here some 2,000 years removed from when this actual event takes place, we don't really grasp or get a sense of how powerful this paradigm shift was in the world. This revolutionary event that took place that opened up the kingdom of God to all people, because we're 2,000 years removed from it. And so we understand that, yes, if I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior here in Poway, I'm saved. Someone could do so in New York, and they're saved. Someone could do so in Europe, and they're saved. In Africa, and they're saved. In Australia or Asia, and they're saved, right? And it just kind of, we just expect it to happen. We understand that anybody can be saved now. But I want to take you back to when this really first, this paradigm shift took place in the New Testament. And just think about how, what this must have been like for the new covenant to be revealed to the Gentiles for the first time, for the Gentiles to have a place in God's kingdom where they were before not allowed in, where God's kingdom was first reserved only for the people of Israel. Only people of Jewish descent could have access to God's kingdom. And now all of a sudden, through Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God is opened up to all people. And so when we read how Paul writes to the Ephesian church in chapter 2, I want you to pay attention to the language that he uses, to the descriptive words that he uses in this passage. Ephesians 2, 11 through 18. Therefore, remember that formerly, you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands, remember that at that time, you were separate from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. What an amazing passage, right? All of a sudden, this new covenant is opened up to all people. And these Gentiles who once were shut out from the kingdom of God now have access. And Paul continues in Ephesians 3. He says this in Ephesians 3, 6. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. You see, church, Jesus Christ and the new covenant unites. Jesus Christ is a uniter, church. He brings together all people from all races, from all ethnicities, from all backgrounds, from all social classes, from all economic classes, from every area of the globe. He brings them all together under this banner of the new covenant of grace, under Jesus Christ. You see, and how much different is this than what we see in the world today, right? This world would want to divide us. This world would want to segregate us. This world would want to put us into boxes, into groups, into categories, and say, you can't associate with these people because you're not like them, or you don't make the same amount of money as them, or you don't have the same skin color as them, or whatever the case may be. You're not vaccinated. You are vaccinated. All this separation, right? We can't ever just all be united. The world wants to divide us. The world wants to separate us. The world wants to put us into all these boxes and categories. But the Church of Jesus Christ is the answer to the world. You see, because under the new covenant of grace, the church unites all of these people together. And we can all come together regardless of skin color, regardless of class, regardless of economic status, social status, regardless of vaccination status. Amen. We can come together and we can worship Jesus Christ. Amen. The new covenant replaces exclusivity with inclusivity, and it's glorious, church. The second new covenant glory I'd like to talk with you about this morning, the new covenant replaces natural birth with spiritual adoption. Yes. We could say another way, people were born into the old covenant, people are adopted into the new covenant. Amen. John 1, 12 through 13. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. Yes. Romans 8:14. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. Adoption, church. In Galatians 4:4 through 15. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law that we might receive adoption to sonship. Thank God for spiritual adoption. Unlike the old covenant, access to the new covenant is not based on who your parents are. It's not based on the DNA that you have coursing through your veins. It's not based on where you were born. It's based on what you believe. Amen. If you believe in the name of Jesus Christ, you are saved and you are adopted into his family. We think of adoption oftentimes in natural terms, right? In fact, I just found out that yesterday was National Adoption Day in this country. Did you guys know that? They make up all these like national days of hamburgers, national days of donuts and all this crazy stuff. I'm actually surprised that there's a National Adoption Day given the climate in this country, right? Like it seems crazy. Like they're going to celebrate adoption. That's great. That's awesome. Natural adoption is an amazing gift and grace of God. And we have many parents in this church that have adopted children over the years, and it's glorious, and it's grace, and it's great. Adoption is also a deep and rich theological concept. Yes. That through the new covenant, outsiders can become insiders. Homeless can be given a home, yes. And the fatherless can be given a father. Yes. Amen. The new covenant replaces natural birth with spiritual adoption, and it's glorious, church. The third new covenant glory, or third reason to be thankful for the new covenant this morning, church, if you're a Thanksgiving message person, the new covenant replaces filthy rags with righteousness. What a blessing this is. It replaces our insufficient works with his all-sufficient finished work. Isaiah 64:6, the filthy rags verse as it's known. All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. Romans 5:19, for just as through the disobedience of one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of one man, the many will be made righteous. Amazing. 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Amazing. And Philippians 3:8, for what is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. You see, the old covenant was a works-based salvation. The Israelites, when they obeyed God, they were blessed. When they disobeyed God, they were cursed. And this cycle would continue throughout their history. We can read about it all throughout the Old Testament. They would go through periods of time in their life where they would be obedient to God and they would be blessed. And then invariably, as we know, they would sin. We would sin. We all would do it. They would fall short. They would mess up. They would have to then provide a sacrifice to atone for those sins. God would forgive them because they're gracious. They would be back in the good graces of God, so to speak. And then again, the cycle would continue and they would fail and sin and have to give restitution again. And so this would go on and on again. It was always, though, a temporary solution to a permanent problem. In the new covenant, Jesus Christ declares, "It is finished." And once and for all makes us righteous by imputation, not our effort. And so we see Jesus Christ comes on the scene and he says, you know what? I'm tired of you guys trying to do it yourself. I'm tired of you trying to give me your filthy rags and try to convince me they're righteous because they're not and because we can't do it ourselves. And so Jesus Christ comes on the scene and he says, I'm going to do it for you. I'm going to live the perfect life that you couldn't live. I'm going to die the death that you deserve to die. And when I rise from that grave, I'm going to impute to you my righteousness. I'm going to give it to you for free. And so when Jesus Christ gives you his righteousness, you are righteous. You are holy. You are perfect in his sight through imputation, not our effort. The new covenant replaces filthy rags with righteousness. And it's glorious, church. Well, just as I said earlier, I want to give you, as I did, three macro level, sort of large scale truths, but I also now want to kind of flip the script and give us what I would call three micro level or three more personal truths related to this new covenant. And these are truths that I hope that you would take with you this morning, that you would put in your pocket, so to speak, and you would take out of this building and use it in your daily life. Three new covenant blessings to believers. Now, I heard that preachers like alliteration. So, as I'm faking being a preacher this morning, what I'll do is give you three P's, all right? Three P's that you can put in your pocket. How's that for alliteration? The first one is presence, church. In the new covenant, we have the presence of God. See, in the old covenant, only the priests could enter into the holy place. Only the priests had access to the presence of God. They were the only ones that could communicate directly with God, that could offer sacrifices to God. The rest of the people, they were shut out from accessing the presence of God. In the new covenant, God's presence is available for all people. In Ephesians 2:19, Paul writes this, "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." God lives inside of you. Do you believe that this morning, church? Yes. Galatians 4:6, "Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father." We as a church, we as new covenant believers have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, living in our hearts. We have the Holy Spirit. He is our comforter during difficult times. He is our intercessor when we don't know how to pray. And he is our guide when we don't know which way to go. Let me encourage you, church, if you are here this morning and you are in a difficult place in your life and you are in a challenging season of life where life has become hard, where you have pain, where you have suffering, where you have hurt, where you have difficulty, let me encourage you with this truth. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. You can tap in to his comfort. He is there to comfort you. He is there to guide you. And when you are at your wit's end and you do not know how to pray, he's interceding on your behalf. He's praying to God the Father for you, church. So take heart. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us as part of this new covenant of believers. Well, the second P that you could put in your pocket this morning, I feel like a preacher, is priesthood. We are a kingdom of priests, church. It's not just reserved to one group of people like it was in the Old Testament any longer. 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And then Revelation 1:5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Being a priest means that we are now God's servants. You see, the priests in the old covenant, they were responsible for administering the sacrifices for the general population. They were responsible for communicating with God. They were responsible for serving God and serving the people through God. And so now in the new covenant, because we are all able to now come under this banner of Jesus Christ, we are all considered a priesthood. We are all considered a royal priesthood, a kingdom of priests. And that means that we are all God's servants, you see, church? And so why God tells us to, when God calls us a royal priesthood, those are marching orders that we are well equipped to carry out, to live our lives in service to God. So let me encourage you with this, church. Find ways that you can be of service to God, whether it be here at Living Way Church, or it be in your community, or it be around your neighborhood, or be at your job. You have been commissioned to be a servant of God because you are a kingdom of priests through Jesus Christ. Amen?
Yes.
We have lots of ways to serve here at the church. Pastor Doug was just talking about serving on this Christmas celebration at the park. Lots of opportunities to serve here on Sunday mornings. Get involved. Find ways where you can serve. Live out this calling of being a priesthood, a royal priesthood, by serving God and his people. Well, let me give you the third P this morning. The third blessing of to New Covenant believers, that's propitiation. Kind of a big, fancy theological word, but it has a very simple meaning. Propitiation means to propitiate, to satisfy the wrath of God against sin, to turn away God's wrath, or to offer a sacrifice that appeases God's judgment and righteous anger against us and our sin. 1 John 2:1-2. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Jesus Christ is our propitiation. He continues in 1 John 4:10. In this love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. As we talked about earlier, in the old covenant, the people of Israel always had to be sacrificing in order to absolve themselves of their sins. They always had to be giving a new sacrifice. They always had to be offering a new sacrifice. God would absolve them of their sins. God would forgive them. They would go on and sin again, as we do all the time ourselves, and then it would be another sacrifice that had to be made. Well, Jesus Christ, once and for all, is that sacrifice. In the new covenant, Jesus was that sacrifice once and for all. When he died on that cross, all your sins died and were buried with him. Understand this morning, church. God is not mad at you. His wrath has been turned away. In fact, now when he looks at you, Even in your darkest moments, even when you feel like you are the dirtiest, even when you feel like you are the most sinful you've ever been, even when you've committed the most heinous acts of sin, when he looks at you, he sees you through the lens of his son. He sees you as perfect. He sees you as righteous. He sees you as holy because Jesus is your propitiation. Jesus paid the price that we could never pay for ourselves, you see. He sacrificed his life on that cross so that you could live, so that you could be counted righteous in his kingdom, so that you could be granted holiness. So these three P's I want you to be able to take with you this morning. Number one, God's presence. Let it go with you, church. Let it be in your heart where you know it is. Scripture confirms that his presence lives inside of you. Be encouraged. If you're going through difficult times, know that Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit is walking with you. Number two, priesthood. That we are a royal priesthood. That we are called to be servants of God. And so let us serve, church. Let us get our hands dirty serving, being the hands and feet of Jesus in this church, in this community, in this world, wherever God may call you. Let us live out that calling of being a royal priesthood. And number three, let us rejoice in the fact that God is in fact our propitiation, that he has paid the ultimate price for our sin, that he has died on that cross for us so that we do not have to suffer the wrath of God, that God is no longer mad at you, that when God looks at you, he does not see you in anger, he sees you in love because of the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made on that cross. I'm going to have you, church, stand with me this morning. I want to have the worship team come forward. I want to sing this song, I Am Who You Say I Am Again. It's my prayer this morning that we would all leave this place with a better appreciation for what this new covenant of grace means to us. That we would all leave this place with a deeper level of thankfulness, with a deeper level of gratitude for what the new covenant of grace means in our life. Now, I'd be remiss if I left this platform this morning without offering every single person here an opportunity to know for certain that you are in fact in this new covenant of believers, that you have in fact accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you have in fact been adopted into this new covenant. I don't know every single person here. I know a lot of you, and it's very likely that almost all of us, if not all of us, are Christians, that we are in the family of God, that we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. But because I don't know every single person here, I don't know every person's situation, I want to offer you guys, every one of us, the opportunity to say yes to God, to lift our hands in faith and say, yes, I want to be entered into that kingdom. So with every head bowed, with every eye closed, if you're here this morning, you say, Matt, I don't know for sure if I'm in this kingdom you're talking about. I don't know if I'm part of this new covenant of believers. I want you just to slip up your hand really, really quick. I just want to know who you are so I can pray for you. I want to know who you are so I can connect with you afterwards. We're not going to embarrass you. We're not going to ask you to come forward. We're not going to ask you to say a prayer out loud in front of everybody. I just want to know for my own good so I can pray for you and so I can connect with you afterwards. I want to make sure every person here has the opportunity to be included in this new covenant of grace. If no hands are raised, I'm going to rejoice in that every single person here is in this new covenant. Every person here considers themselves a child of God, considers themselves adopted. And that's a glory in and of itself. Amen. Let's pray this morning, church, before I turn it over to the worship team. Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunity to speak this message, Lord. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would encourage us through your scriptures, that you would encourage us, Lord God, to know that you love us, that you would encourage us, Lord God, to understand the depth of your love for us, to understand just how important our inclusion in this new covenant is for our relationship with you, Lord God. I pray that we would all leave this place, Lord, with a heightened level of thankfulness, with a heightened level of gratitude for what you've done in us and through us because of your new covenant. Lord, I pray that you would bless every single person here, that you would bring them back safely on Wednesday night if they're going to attend, and then on Sunday morning next week to hear another message of your gospel preached. Lord, we pray all these things in your name. Everybody said? Amen.